Well, here we are on the day before Valentine's Day, and I wanted to share with you a group of professionals posed the question, what does love mean, to a group of 4 to 8-year-olds? So here's what they answered. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Love is when mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure it tastes okay. True love. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Robert Redford. A good one. Love is when a puppy licks your face even after you've left him alone all day. Cards like Valentine's cards say stuff on them that we'd like to say ourselves, but we wouldn't be caught dead saying. I love this one. This is obviously a little girl. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. And the last one, you really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. Don't you love that? Kids, you know, kids can only say it, right, in the way that they say it. But how many of you want to be loved, appreciated, respected, and cared for? Let me see some hands. Loved, cared for, respected. Look around. We all want to be loved and appreciated, don't we? But the interesting thing is that for many people, it's very confusing and frustrating because we don't really know what love is. You know, what is love? We know we want to experience it. But what is it? You know, we go looking for people who have what we think we want, but we don't even know what we're looking for. What we do know is how we want to feel. And so for many of us, love is a feeling that we get from someone outside of ourselves who make us feel that way. You know, love is a feeling that is dependent on the approval of someone else. You know, love is a feeling that we go looking for outside of ourselves. And we go looking for someone else to make us feel it. And when we do, we end up in this vicious cycle of searching and seeking and searching and seeking and searching and seeking, but never really finding it. Eric Butterworth, a wonderful Unity minister and author, in his book Life is for Loving, he says that the lonely, love-starved person spends his or her life searching for love, much like the starving person goes to the smorgasbord looking for food. The starving person is temporarily satisfied, and then the search begins again. He's temporarily filled full. But whenever we have to be filled full, then we can be empty again. Interesting thought. Which means to be filled full means that there's an inner emptiness within us that is being filled from outside. And whenever we go looking for someone or looking for something to fill us, then we will have to be filled full again and again and again. And so we're on this vicious cycle of searching and seeking and never really finding it. So how many of you have said something like, I don't really know what I want, but I know this isn't it. Yeah, this ain't it. That's for certain. You know, and so we go out looking for love. You know, I hate to be the one to tell you, but no one, nothing outside of you can make you happy. No one, nothing, no person, nothing out there can fill your emptiness, can fill that empty space within you. And so where do we find the love that we really want? You know, are we, you know, like the song says, looking in for love in all the wrong places and on all the wrong faces? Yeah, because love is found within. Now, true love is found within you. Within you. It starts within you and then it radiates out. And the interesting thing about love is the more you give it away, guess what? The more it returns to you. The more you give it away, the more love comes back to you. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, he says, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when you see the love, when they see the love that you have for each other." So Jesus is saying, love one another. He doesn't say, love one another if they're nice to you, if they love you back, if they deserve it. And he doesn't say, love one another if and only when they do exactly what you want them to do. Now he said, love one another. Period. End of sentence. Love one another. Yeah, just give out love all the time. All the time. Just give love away. Not just some of the time and not only when you think you're going to get something back, but give out love all the time. Be a love giver, not a love seeker. In the book The Quest, which is a great book on Unity's book of metaphysical teaching, says it this way: true love is expressed not to be reciprocated, but to make us completely alive. True love is expressed not to be reciprocated, but to make us completely alive. And so your job is to go out and just start giving love away without any expectation of getting it back. Isn't that a novel idea? Your job is just to give love. Give it away because it feels great to love. It feels wonderful to love, and love is good for you. It's good for the soul when we love each other. And so today when you're eating lunch, love every bite of it. When you go to work tomorrow, love it rather than resisting it. Love your coworkers. Isn't that a novel idea? Love. You love the clerk at the grocery store. Just love. Begin to love yourself and love every single part of your life. Find the magic in loving. Because the truth is, when you love, care for, respect, and accept yourself, guess what? You'll begin to attract somebody into your life who can love, care for, and respect and accept you. Now, if you don't love yourself, if you don't love you, what makes you think anybody else can love you? And when we find that love is within us, then we'll stop looking outside of us. And the old vicious search cycle will end. We won't be looking for love outside and not finding it, because we'll find it within us. We'll find it within. Now, I don't know about you, but this whole idea of falling in love is rather strange, isn't it? I mean, it sounds like we're trying to trip the other person. Or there's this big hole for us to fall in. I much prefer thinking of rising in love. You know? Because when we fall in love, what do we say? We say things like, I feel like I'm walking on air. You know, it's this whole idea of rising in love takes time. We can fall in love or out of love in an instant, but we rise in love over time as we really begin to embrace and accept the other person. You know, when we love and cherish and honor them just the way they are, it takes time for two people to feel comfortable about who they are in a relationship. And so here's a bit of advice. When you're looking for a relationship love the other person exactly the way they are. Don't try to change them. Have you ever tried? How did it work for you? Not well, right? I can guarantee that, not well. Because you have to love them just the way they are, or you don't love them. And they have to love you just the way you are, or they don't love you. We are God's beloved. We are whole, we are perfect, and we are complete just the way we are. And we have to begin to allow this God self within us to see the God self in each other, just the way it is. Nothing broken, nothing missing. And seeing the divinity within each other, it's our second unity principle. That's the true meaning of namaste. The divinity within me honors, cherishes, loves the divinity within you. In my first church in Tallahassee, Florida, I had somebody facilitate a workshop, how to attract your perfect partner. Now, I was very happily married at the time, but I thought, well, it's in my church. I probably should go and kind of see what the facilitator's talking about. So she had us do a really interesting exercise. She asked us to write down on a piece of paper all of the qualities that we wanted in our perfect partner. And then she said, look at this list and ask yourself these questions. Am I those qualities? And if I'm not, am I willing to be those qualities? Because, you know, if one of your qualities is to attract a perfect partner that is in good physical condition, don't you better think you've got to be in good physical condition too? Because somebody who's in good shape is going to be attracted to someone else in good shape. So we can't find in another person something that we're not willing to be ourselves. We rise in love to be exactly the kind of person that we want to be in our life. And so there are three steps that I'd like to share with you this morning about how we can bring love forth in our lives. The first step is to be a love finder, not a fault finder. Be a love finder. There's just as much good in the person that you're finding fault with as the faults that are there. But catch yourself when you're fault finding or criticizing and stop it. Turn it around. Focus on what's right about the person. Focus on all the little good things that they do. All the good stuff all the little things in their life. Because our third principle is what you focus on, what? You get more of. You attract to you. So be a love finder, not a fault finder. Second step is be, and I said this earlier, be a love giver, not a love seeker. If you don't feel loved in your life, start giving it away. Start loving at every single opportunity, everyone that you can. Be that radiating center of love. Stop seeking it and start giving it away. Because the more love you give away, the more love comes back to you. So be a love giver, not a love seeker. And then the third thing, if you can see behind the roses there, weigh every thought, word, and action by the standard of love. You know, ask yourself, is this the loving thing to say? Is this the loving thing to do? Is this the loving thing to think? And if the answer is yes, go for it. Do it. If not, wait. I have the rule of 24. Don't say anything for 24 hours unless you're coming from a space of love. If you're angry, if you're upset, zip it. Don't say anything because you know whatever you say when you're in that consciousness, you will regret big time. So don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut. Go into the next room. Go to bed. You know, sleep on it. Pray about it. Think about it. Wait 24 hours. And then engage the mouth. But weigh everything you think, say, and do against the standard of love. So three things to bring forth the love that is within you is to be a love finder instead of a fault finder. Be a love giver instead of a love seeker. And then weigh every thought, word, and action by the standard of love. And if you are currently in a relationship, I have the best present for you to give your sweetie. Give them this tomorrow, Valentine's Day, give them the gift of appreciation. Appreciate them for the meals that are cooked, the house that is clean, the garbage that's taken out, the bank book that's balanced. Tomorrow you get an opportunity to tell your beloved one how much they mean to you and how much you appreciate them. Focus on the positive. It will make all the difference. Because when you look for the best, guess what? You'll see the best. And if you see the best, you'll begin to rise in love. And so I'd like to end with this very touching story. It's called Puppy Size. We've been back to the shelter at least 5 times, the mother told the volunteer. It's been weeks now since we started all of this. What does she keep asking for? The volunteer said. Puppy size. Well, we have plenty of puppies, if that's what she's looking for. I know. We've seen most of them, the mother said in frustration. And just then the young child came walking into the office. Well, the mother said, did you find one? No, not this time, the young girl said with sadness in her voice. Can we come back on the weekend? The child took her mother by the hand and they headed out the door. And she said to her mother, don't worry, Mom, I bet we'll find one this weekend. And over the next few days, both her mom and dad had long conversations with their daughter. They both felt she was being way too particular. It's this weekend or we're not looking anymore, said the dad, totally in frustration. We don't want to hear anything more about puppy size either, Mom added. And sure enough, that Saturday they were the first ones at the shelter. The young girl walked slowly from cage to cage, kneeling down periodically to take a closer look. And one by one the dogs were brought out and she held each one. And one by one she said, sorry, you're not the one. It was the last cage on this last day in search of the perfect puppy. The volunteer opened the cage door and the child carefully picked up the dog and held it closely. This time she took a little bit longer. Mom, that's it. I found the puppy. He's the one, I know it, she screamed with joy. And Mom, startled by all the commotion, came running. What? Are you sure? How do you know? She asked. It's the puppy size. Well, yes, it's the same size as all the other puppies you held the last few weeks, Mom said. No, not size. Size. When I held him in my arms, he sighed, she said. So, Mom replied. Well, don't you remember? When I asked you one day what love is, you told me love depends on the size of your heart. The more you love, the bigger you sigh. The mother didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. And the young girl continued, Mom, every time you hold me, I sigh. When you and Daddy come home from work and you hug each other, you both sigh. I knew I would find the right puppy if it sighed when I held it in my arms. Then holding the puppy up close to her face, she said, Mom, he loves me. I heard the sighs of his heart. And so my prayer for each one of us this Valentine's Day and every single day of our life is to hear the sighs of the heart. God bless you and have a great and loving, wonderful, happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.